Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. A beautiful Saturday to you. Yes, it is. After two great days of rain. How are you? Merry Christmas ahead of time. Today's show, The Dangers of Scar Trauma. If you've had a facelift, any of you that have had an organ removed, any surgeries, cesareans, episiotomies, athletes, chronic repetitive trauma, car accidents, any cuts, broken bones, any traumatic injury to the skin, and what you think is the tissue beneath the skin is what today's show is about. We call this a scar. Well, that's not news to you, but did you know how deep those scars actually go into the body? That's really going to be one of the illuminating points of today's show, that when we say scar, we don't mean just that cut in the skin. You see this all the time where people get cut through the skin, surgery or otherwise, and the focus goes to the local spot, what you can see. Well, that's common sense, yes, but what you're going to find out today is that that scar twists and travels deeply into your body. And collectively, over the years, if you've had, like many people, 2, 3, 4, 5 deep scar traumas, what you've succeeded at doing, and what I'll show you today, what you've succeeded at doing is actually twisting your internal organs. Now, that's big, because part of how an organ degenerates over time, even though no one tells you, part of how that organ degenerates is in response to the physical shift that occurs over the years as you change your alignment. And as the arteries, the veins, the nerves, and the lymphatic flow twist and turn in response to these scars. So if you fit the bill, and who doesn't fit the bill? Who has not had traumatic injury? Or who has not had surgeries? Who doesn't have that part of the body that broke? The broken leg, the broken ankle, the broken shoulder, the surgery to remove an organ, the facelift, the cesarean, the episiotomy. How many people have 1, 2, or 3 of these? By the time you've got some age on the chassis, by the time you're in your 50s, 60s, and 70s, most people have had numerous surgical or traumatic insults to the connective tissue of the body. And this is really affecting your organ function. That's the focus of today's show, to give you a sense that it's not just that scar you're looking at. For aesthetic reasons, of course, we want that scar to go away. It doesn't look good, so get rid of it. The point is, it's what's underneath. As always, it's what you don't see that gets you. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Get on the website, straighttalk.cc. Not .com, that's with 2 T's. If you're driving, I'll describe as best I can to you. But as soon as you can, get on the website so you can look at the pictures. Yes, each picture is thousands of words. If you can see it and touch it and feel it, you can know it. All right, first of all, if you're looking at the website, there's a video I put on. I've put this on 5 or 6 times over 5 years. This is an incredible video. We're not going to get into it today. But if you have a chance, go into the video on the fascia magnified 25 times. It's on the website. It's a must-see video. Because when I say to you that the fascia is like a web, it's an infinitely complex web of spider-like connective tissue that engulfs your entire body, connecting every organ to every organ, every cell to every cell, every muscle to every muscle, every muscle to every bone, every organ to every muscle, every organ to every bone, that it is the interconnected intelligence of the body. I'm not exaggerating. Today's show is about fascia. And what are you cutting through when they take a uterus out or a gallbladder? Or when they have to go in there and put plates in a bone or a mesh? Anybody that's cut through the skin surgically, or anybody that's cut through the skin traumatically, say you fell and your bone, it popped through your skin. Or anybody that's had chronic repetitive trauma. In other words, you haven't had any of the accidents I've described or surgeries, but you've just beaten yourself up over 40 years of martial arts or football or basketball. Your average middle-aged athlete has taken more hits to the body than he or she can remember. Anybody fitting this description has twisted this interconnected web of fascia from the head to the toe. The point is, if you twist it in your head, you have twisted it in your foot. It's too interconnected for you to say, oh yes, I have a scar on my shoulder, I just need to take care of my shoulder. Now we're going to take the time today, especially if you can get to the pictures, to turn these statements into reality. I insist that you do these things visually, because when you see them, then you really know them. You hear me squawk all the time. This is not a show about data acquisition. This is not just more data like the data you collect on your YouTube searches or your Google searches. People call that research. It's not research. Collecting data is not research. Putting it together with your brain is research. Or I should say, really the whole purpose of it is to use the data to think. So really, this is about deepening your understanding. I want you to deepen your understanding of the fascial web, how scars twist the fascial web. And to do that, I want you to look at the pictures if you can. Okay, so let's talk about an organ and understand that an organ is fed by an artery. That's pretty easy. It's drained by a vein. So an organ, brain, liver, heart, spleen, kidney, pancreas, any organ, which is just a collection of cells wrapped in cellophane. An organ is just a collection of cells with a specific job to do, wrapped in cellophane. And that cellophane is fascia, by the way. That organ is fed by an artery and drained by a vein. That organ is fed by a nerve. The higher intelligence of the organ, that which organizes the chemistry of the organ, is fed by the nerve. So you have a vein, an artery in and a vein out, and you have a nerve in to organize the intelligence of the organ. Cut that nerve, the cells are stupid. If you cut that nerve, or if you twist that nerve, if you compress that nerve, no, I don't mean if you compress the nerve and you start screaming in pain and run to the hospital. I mean, if you compress it just enough so that the intelligence of the cell gets a little dumb. So your cells get a little stupid. So they don't function optimally because they have no organization of the electromagnetic field delivered by the nerve. So an organ is an artery in and a vein to drain and a nerve in to keep the cells smart of the organ. And then, of course, as all of your cells excrete or defecate, we have a lymphatic system running in, and we have a lymphatic system draining. The lymph feed and drain, like the artery and the vein. And we have to have that lymph, otherwise the toxicity in between the cells, in the ECM, the intercellular space, build up, and when the toxicities hit a critical threshold, if they're not drained, then the cells start to get angry and inflamed, and we have the whole inflammatory cascade, and inflammation becomes metaplasia, becomes dysplasia, and those organs just start to rot. I know some of you are already like, this is too much, man. It's not too much. If you can manage your money, you can manage your health. If you can fix your car, you can manage your health. If you can cook in the kitchen and prepare Christmas dinner and do it with precision, you can understand these concepts. And I really mean that. So an organ is a collection of cells, and those cells are all bound up in cellophane. And there's an artery in and a vein out, and there's a nerve in, and then there's lymph flow. The artery, the vein, the nerve, and the lymph, they run anatomically. They course, or their pathway to the organ is in a fascial bundle. That's right. You're going to see some of this today. When you dissect in labs, your teacher will tell you, as you dissect, I want you to find what they call the VAN, the vein, artery, and nerve, the bundle that goes into the organ. I want you to dissect out this cable. It's a cable. It's a fascial cable. Men, when we go into the electrical system of the car or the house and we look for that bundle of wires, we look for those four or five wires, according to the schematics, that are taped up with a special colored tape amongst the hundreds of wires in the closet of whatever we're trying to resurrect or in the car. We're looking for that fascial bundle. It's the same way in the body. The vein, the artery, and the nerve and the lymph course in a bundle, a cord of connective tissue called fascia. Guess what happens when there's a scar? Guess what happens when there's a multitude of scars? Ultimately, those fascial cords that deliver all that important information into the organ, the vein, the artery, the nerve, and the lymph, that fascial cord begins to twist. Now, if you take this to the prestigious institutions of the world and say that Dr. Medici told me that I have a bunch of twisted fascial cords with my organs degenerating at an advanced rate because of the numerous scars and surgeries pulling these fascial cords out of place, they are going to say there's no studies to support this. And they may be right. There's an enormous amount of empiric evidence to support this. In other words, people that work with people's scars and people's alignments and people's bodies who are running around the world sick, disgusted, decayed, depressed because they haven't gotten answers. And when you apply these concepts or what ultimately becomes therapy, and I'll get to that later, to people who have been scarred from various ways, and you start to see results. You start to see people's health concerns resolve. Their aches and pains go away. We call this empiric evidence. And then we bring to that theory. We bring to that causality. We bring to that science. But you see, nobody pays us to do this. See, this is the thing about concepts like what I'm introducing today. Nobody pays anybody to take a year or two off and run studies, because nobody can make money off this. There really is no money to be made, in the sense of, if I gather research money to solve a problem pharmaceutically, bring the investment capital in to synthesize the drug, to solve the problem that all the research grants have designated as a problem, well, then there's billions to be made. And with that type of money at stake, you can get funding. I'm not knocking the pharmaceutical industry. I'm simply saying that what I'm telling you today about scars, especially if you're new to the show, I'm telling you your facelifts, your cesareans, your episiotomies, all of your organ surgeries, all of your joint replacements. I'm telling you athletes, even if you haven't had physical surgeries, the chronic repetitive trauma over the years have added up. And by the time you're 50 or 60, your disease patterns are related to these scars. And I'm telling you that when you bring this over Christmas dinner to the family at the table, with loved ones who may occupy other subsets of medicine. You may have a sister that's a physical therapist. You may have a brother that's a surgeon. You may have another brother that's a scientist. They're going to tell you this stuff really isn't supported by the good hard science. That is bunko. That's what I'm telling you. But you have to understand why it's bunko, or you will shrivel underneath your Christmas table. You will shrivel. You will buckle. I see people do this all the time. And why? Because they don't really understand what they're talking about. And I mean, our American holistic public doesn't really get it. I want you to get it. And I don't want you to think you can't get it. So let's continue. Let's continue and understand. If you took a sponge and you dipped the sponge, the dry, dirty sponge, you had a sponge, you wet the sponge, you clean the grease off the kitchen countertop, off the oven countertop, the fire. And so there was that sponge, and it was greasy and dirty and wet, and then it dried. It dried. Well, if you took that dry, dirty sponge and you dipped it in water again until it was wet, so now it's dirty and wet, and somebody said to you, where's the water? You took the sponge, the dried sponge, you dipped it in the water, the sponge is all wet, and someone said, where's the water in the sponge? Locate the water in the sponge. You would say, well, what do you mean? The water is everywhere. The sponge has soaked up all the water. So there's no such thing as where's the water. The water is all over the sponge. That's where your fascia is. That's how you have to think of the fascia. Those of you just driving, fascia is this spider web of connective tissue, like when you cut through chicken or meat and you get to the gristle. That's the fascia. Only the fascia becomes microfascia. Fascia in between the cells you can't see. You can see the chicken gristle. Those of you on the site, those of you who aren't on the site, go to the site, straighttalk.cc. So what's the point? The point is that all of this fascia gets twisted when you get a scar. It doesn't just get twisted down by your pubic bone when you have a cesarean. That twisting down by the pubic bone when you have a scar, or that twisting behind your ears when you have your face lifted, or that twisting in the knee or the shoulder when you have those joints replaced, extends throughout the body systemically. It doesn't just go superficially. It just doesn't limit itself to where you see the scar. It goes everywhere. And eventually, as scars begin to multiply in the body, it starts twisting the van, the vein, the artery, the nerve, and the lymphatic cord. And that is how it costs you life. Now, that's big. And I know you can understand what I'm talking about better if you visualize it. Those of you on the website, please take a look. Picture number one. The Endless Web of Fascia. Yes, it's called that. You can go do a Google image search and put in fascia, and you'll see all sorts of notions about this endless web. Here's what you won't see because you won't look. Picture number three. If you look at picture number three, that is a cross-section of a human body. So if you're driving, if you take somebody and you cut them in half, and you look down the half that you just cut, what you're going to see is compartmentalizations. That's what you're looking at in picture three. Those are compartmentalizations of a cross-section of a human body. And what makes the compartments is fascia. The compartmentalization in organs where an organ is where a muscle is. There's a muscle next to a muscle. Those muscles are separated. The organs are separated. The muscles are separated from the organs. All of the compartmentalization of the body is through fascia. That's big. Now, you can see from that cross-section on picture three, if you cut through that and twist it, twisting one section will twist all the sections of the body. I think the visuals are critical. You may be blessed with a wonderful imagination, so use it. But if you can get to the pictures, straighttalk.cc, get to the pictures, you can see all the compartmentalizations of the fascia, and you can imagine then those compartmentalizations being twisted. And once they're twisted, the twists go deep. And the twists run long from top to bottom. So a scar represents a three-dimensional twist. You've had a low back surgery. You've had your gallbladder taken out. You've had a hernia. You've had a hysterectomy. You've had an episiotomy. You've had a cesarean. You've had your knee replaced. You've had your shoulder replaced. You've had your wrist operated on. You have a plate in your wrist. You have a plate in your skull. You've had the facelift with the big cuts behind the ears. We're going to get to the facelifts. How many women I have seen that walk in frantic, I don't know what it is. Over the years, I'm more and more and more anxiety ridden, to the point where I don't even know where I am, to the point where I'm exhausted, I'm frazzled, I've lost my sleep, I don't know where, I have no libido, I don't know what's going on anymore. And I took all those wonderful hormone replacement therapies because they told me it was just menopause, but it hasn't done anything. And you look behind their ear, and they have a scar as big as your pinky. You know, when you get these surgeries, they put you to sleep. You don't know what it looks like, and you probably don't want to know. Cesareans, facelifts, episiotomies. Surgery is not clean. Any surgeon I've ever known as a friend has said to me at one point or another, surgery is not clean. Remember a friend of mine years ago, he was a plastic surgeon and had a bad ankle. And he came up to see me and I said, you know, you've torn the ligament in the ankle. I said, why don't you get that fixed? Meaning, why don't you have it surgeried? And he looked at me and he said, are you kidding? Surgery's not clean. Now, this is a plastic surgeon hesitant to get his ankle fixed because it's a surgery. Think about that. I had a urologist tell me once the same thing. And if you know anything about the human body, if you've done your dissections, if you're fluid in this world, you understand that to go into tissues and cut them, that's not a little deal. It's a big deal. When they say it's a minor surgery, and I'm not knocking surgery, so let's not get that wrong if we have any surgeons. When you do surgery, it's a cost-benefit procedure that may save your life. So relative to saving your life, who cares about scars? But we should. So the intention here is not to say don't do a surgery when you must do a surgery. The intention here is to say only do a surgery if you have to do a surgery. And if you have to do a surgery, get hip to the scar thing so you can do something about it. And I won't leave you hanging today because we're going to talk about what you do about it. Only we will talk about what you do about it in the reality plane. And I mean what you really do about a scar to fix it. So, if you've been fortunate enough to get to picture three to look at a cross-section of the body, what you're looking at are all the compartmentalizations of the body that are fascia. They're made of that connective tissue. Picture five, just had to send you there, a great picture of a lion. You know, you can watch all the animals each day in all the kingdoms of all the continents and watch those animals. Doesn't matter, gorillas, jaguars, leopards, mountain lions, lizards. When you watch nature go into a stretch, when you watch a dog or a cat do a yoga pose, that animal has mastered the art of stretching its body. And that's what you see in picture five. That great big 600-700-800-pound lion doing downward dog. That animal, I can tell you from understanding biomechanics, is putting the stretch where it counts. In fact, those of you who can't see, it's a lion, a male lion, doing what we call in yoga downward dog, and it's using its claws. Have you ever noticed how when your cat does a stretch under its armpits, under its two front legs? Have you ever noticed how a cat, your cat, watch your cat do that stretch, downward dog stretch, when the two arms and the whole spine just buckles down, goes concave? Notice how the cat digs its claws into the floor. Much to your dismay. The cat does that for traction. Animals know how to take advantage of every nuance of stretching that the yogics ever invented. Animals do it naturally. And they're stretching out that connective tissue. They're stretching out that fascia. When you get a scar, you can't stretch it out anymore. You should. You must. But it's much tougher because there's a scar. When you get a scar, even if you stretch like a lion, even if you stretch like a leopard, even if you stretch like a yogic, what happens is those fascial lines get sliced through because of the scar. And when they heal all interconnected and gluey, ooey and gluey and dewy. And you can't stretch them out anymore. This is why if you have a scar, if you have a cesarean, if you have an episiotomy, if you've had your joints replaced, if you've had any kinds of surgeries, if you've had a facelift, any of these things, and you just don't feel right, you feel off. You feel like that area has sectioned itself off. Or maybe you don't, but you know something's wrong, but you can't put your finger on it. You can't stretch that part out. It doesn't work. Because if you look at picture 13, it'll explain to you why it doesn't work. It says the muscle fibers have become stuck together, stabilizing the injury and forming an internal cast. This is what you have to understand about surgeries and traumas. The areas that are traumatized, they stabilize themselves and create what we call an internal cast. Cast like when they put that white cast around your arm to stabilize your bones when you break your bones. This is going on internally, but the connective tissue that creates the cast is fascia. It's scarred fascial tissue added to by a web of scar tissue on top of the fascia that the body lays down. So what's a scar? It's twisted fascia. What's a scar? It's twisted fascia plus the scar tissue that's laid down by the fibroblast, that's a certain type of cell, in response to the trauma. And that twisted fascia and the added scar tissue form an internal cast. It's a mess, and it's all underneath your skin, and it's all underneath the scar, and it's all extending three-dimensionally out from the site, and it's twisting vein, artery, nerve, and lymph to vital organ. You got it now. Only 25 minutes into the show, you've got it. If you've got that, you're on. Now, I could have said scars are bad, so let's keep going, right? And you could have said, I know scars are bad. Many of you, this is absolute news. But some of you might say scars are bad. Let me tell you something. In the trenches, if you don't know why, you will get mowed over. Put it to the Christmas dinner test. Bring it up to the family. Tell your sister who you haven't seen in a year. You know, those scars from the breast augmentation or from the facelift, those scars need to be checked into, Jeannie, because, you know, they can reflex to organs and create twisting of the van and all sorts of things. And watch what happens. Watch what happens when they look at you and say, well, I don't know anything about that. I haven't read anything. Why didn't my doctor tell me? You're going to get bombarded. All right, I don't want to labor the point, but I see this all the time, and what it asks you to do is learn more deeply. All right, I think you've got the basics here. Now, I'm going to talk about the facelift just for a moment, because there is a dangerous consequence of the facelift. A dangerous consequence of the facelift. Specific to the facelift. Go to picture number 11. And you know those scars behind the ear from women with facelifts? Well, when they take the side of your face, and you can look at not just picture 11, but don't look at picture 10 and 9 if you're squeamish. But you really should if you can. If you go to picture 10 and 9, you really see what they do in a facelift. I mean, they cut the side of your face open. You look like a hunk of red meat. And then they pull the skin up. And that's how they do that facelift. And you can look at those pictures. You know, it's interesting. There's not a lot. You have to go to the medical text to see the pictures. Because they don't put the pictures online. They only put the picture of you after the facelift online. But what you look like under the knife during surgery, they don't show you. I've got some pretty good pictures up. But here's my point. With the facelifts or with any surgeries around the neck or with any neck traumas, so you don't even have to cut into the neck, what happens, but I'm going to take the facelift as my prime example here, is the pull on the fascial web, pulling the fascial web goes into the front side of the neck, just in front of the ear, and you know what it does? It pulls the vagus nerve. Facelifts pull the vagus nerve into a semi-compressed status. The scar behind the ear on a facelift will pull into the upper cervical fascia. Up in the front, like around where your carotid artery is. You all know where Dracula bites you in the neck. We all know where lovers pet each other as teenagers in the neck. We all know where the carotid artery is. In that area, up high, just in front of the ear, is what gets pulled on when you get a facelift. And when it pulls that, it pulls the vagus nerve that's in it. If you go, if you can, to picture 21, you're going to see that vagus nerve. And, of course, that vagus nerve, once it's compressed, your life changes. You will never know what it is to relax again, not fully, once that vagus nerve begins to distort. Now, backing this statement up, and of course the vagus nerve, and if you don't know, is part of the autonomic nervous system. And as many of you do know, the relaxation part of that autonomic nervous system, the nerve that goes to all the organs predominantly, so those organs know how to go into the chill zone so they can rebuild themselves as you sleep and otherwise, well, all of that direction to the repair state of the organ is mediated through the vagus nerve. You twist that nerve through a scar or anything else, and your body forgets how to repair. I mean, isn't that exciting just to know that? What is medicine really about when you don't get this kind of information? And here's to Kay Bright for getting me on the air to share it with you. And here's to the American Constitution for allowing us the freedom of speech. Because you really need, good American people, you really need to get this stuff down. Because this is where your health lives. There's lots of ways to distort the vagus nerve. There's lots of ways to imbalance the autonomics. And while we're fettering around with trillions of dollars trying to come up with new drugs to rescue and to cure disease, we're not looking at causality. Picture number 18. Go to picture 18. What I'm going to try to describe, if you're driving and you can't get to a computer, is anytime you look at, in fact, yeah, 18 is a good one. Anytime you look at the cross section of a body part, in this case, the upper arm, you're going to see a section. And that section is going to hold, encased in fascia, the vein, the artery, and the nerve, and the lymph. In this one, they don't show you the lymph. But if you take a cross-section of anywhere, if you take a cross-section of someone's neck, if you cut off someone's head and look down their neck, so you're looking at the cross-section, you could actually view this on picture 19 if you like. If you cut off somebody's head and you look down on what you just cut off and you look where the carotid artery is, you're going to see in a bundle of fascia, the carotid artery, the carotid artery, the jugular vein, which is the counterpart of the carotid artery, and the vagus nerve. Now look at that. That's an amazing picture, those of you can get it. Picture 19. That's a cross section of the neck. Pardon the graphics. Cut off someone's head and look down into the cross section on 19 there. And what you're going to see is this fascial bundle that contains the carotid artery, the jugular vein, and the vagus nerve. This is just up in front of your ear. So if you followed your neck to the top of your neck in the front, just under the angle of the jaw, just in front of the ear, that's the area that gets twisted. Facelifts. That's the area that gets twisted if you have anterior head carriage. That's the area that gets twisted if you've had head trauma. That's the area that gets twisted if you clench your jaw. That's the area that gets twisted if you've broken your collarbone. That's the area that gets twisted if you've had congestive heart surgery, meaning bypass surgery. That's the area that gets twisted if you've had your shoulder replaced. That's the area that gets twisted if you've played football for years. That's the area that gets twisted if you've just lived an active life. And you may not even have a scar externally, but if you add an external scar to that, wow. All right. Want to talk about what you're supposed to do. All right, go to picture 25. There are clays. And I would not just leave you with this notion that if you put clay on a scar and rub it in, it's all hunky-dory. I am not going to make that statement. I'm going to give you a much more comprehensive position on this. If you look at Med Body Packs, that's a clay made by Premier Research Labs. This is a fabulous clay. Whose ever clay you use. If you take clays or castor oil or any oil, you know, there's a wonderful aromatherapy show that follows my show. I listened to part of it last week. It's an excellent, excellent show. If you have any time to catch that, please do. If you use oils, healing oils into scars, clays into scars, castor oil into scars, any of these things, that's a first step. But here's what you have to think in terms of. There's a process to rehabilitate a scar that has many caveats. So I think with the time permitted and the pictures, and if you can get to the website and you're driving, that's straighttalk.cc, not .com.cc with two T's. I think you've got a pretty decent beginning here to understand the reason you have to try to remediate, the fix, to resolve, to make normal again a scar. But in terms of the process, and it may not be a process you can do by yourself. You may need help doing this. You may not. How would you know? Well, I'm going to get to that. These shows I do, and I think I speak for many people that do shows, I'm not saying necessarily that off a radio show, you can do this for yourself. It doesn't always work that way. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. When you talk about detoxifications and cleanses and resolving scars and doing all sorts of things on any educational show, the implication is not that you basically just look in a book and go do it. There are arts to this. I want to take a moment to emphasize that because lots of people don't get that. These are art forms that you evolve, and you can just take a shot and evolve it. So let me begin by saying, when we talk about remediating or fixing a scar, it may ultimately not be something you can do very well by yourself, but it may be something you want to take a crack at. And that's your part of the responsibility. But if you have a good oil, if you have castor oil, if you have good clays like this Med Body Pack, I'll talk about the clay. If you apply it and you rub it into the scar, a clay is a chelator. It binds to garbage, exudate, fibrin, metals, infections, all sorts of congesting particles in that scarred area. But there's another piece of this, and that other piece has to do with, if you go to picture 27, you've got to go into the scar with cross-friction massage. Now, that's an art form, but nonetheless, you have to understand that there is a physical manipulation of a tissue. If you have a deep cut, if you look at, and I put them on there for a reason. If you look at picture 9, picture 10, if you look at the cesarean on picture 8, if you look at what you actually and how you actually and how deeply you get cut when you have surgeries, and you consider just rubbing on a bit of clay and calling it a day, I think you're going to see that it just might call is something a little bit deeper than that. By the time you have a scar from a surgery, you have been cut deeply into your body. And I want you to think of oils and clays and stuff as great conditioners. And I'm going to suggest to you that the other part of resolving a scar is to have somebody or yourself get into that tissue and cross-fiber it. And it may hurt. Don't be surprised if when you dig in there, it hurts. Don't be surprised if as you mull around and manipulate and compare it to other sides of your body or places where you don't see a scar, don't be surprised if that localized area doesn't hurt. Maybe not at the top on the skin, but if you dig in there and you cross fiber, you're going to feel the blockage. Now, you can have this done professionally also. And I want you to take that into yourself. So I want you to think of the consequences of a scar. I want you to think of conditioning the scar. So we're conditioning the scar. You could condition the scar in an infrared sauna. You could condition the scar doing 40 minutes of hot cold therapy. You can condition the scar by adding clay to it or different oils or castor oil treatments. You condition the scar so that you can go in, you or you pay somebody to do it. Go into that tissue and cross fiber it. To do what? To break up the congestion. Well, how do you know it's congested? You're going to feel it. I didn't feel it. I didn't even know that scar was there. I know I've got scars behind my ears, but my hair hides it and I don't feel the scar. Go and dig your fingers into it. Touch yourself. Now, there's a concept, a revolutionary new concept that people should touch their bodies. And when they touch them, they just shouldn't pat them. They should touch them and grab them and knead deeply into them like you're going into pizza dough. Go and knead your fingers into that scar behind your ear or down by that cesarean or go knead that episiotomy or go touch the connective tissues around that joint replacement or where you've had the joint surgery or where they've cut the thyroid out or go up under the right rib cage after they've taken out your gallbladder and you'll see what I'm talking about. So there's a need for cross-friction massage deep to break up congestion. Now, there's another piece of this that's part of knowing how to rehab a scar. And that other piece of it has to do with, well, I'm going to use another picture, picture 16. Those of you driving, I want you to think of yourself at 20 years old on the dance floor or in the football or in the basketball game. 20 years old, 18 years old, 16 years old, young, springy, flexible, capable of hitting the floor and bouncing up. And I want you to consider that those were the days when your what we call alignment was optimized. If I could give to you an experience of optimal alignment, it's watching a young athlete. If I could give to you an experience of optimal alignment, it's watching a young horse. A horse just coming into its prime, break out of the gate, or a horse galloping in its prime. If I could give to you a sense of optimal alignment, it's you on a dance floor or an athletic field in your teens. Now, by the time you add 40 years to that, your body doesn't know how to move anymore. And you feel it in your joints. And you feel it in the aches and pains. And you feel it as you glide across the dance floor and pray you don't tip over. By the time you're 70, certainly this is the case. Well, any show I've done on alignment, and any time I've mentioned structural integration, postural integration, rolfing, Pilates, yoga, Qigong, Tai Chi, Kung Fu, I do it to give you a sense that there's something that we call center. And if you're looking there at that picture, again, this is picture number 16, the body, if you're optimally aligned, is just a bunch of blocks all stacked up correctly. And the gravity line allows you to move effortlessly. Your body parts, your head, your thoracics, your low back, and all the weight distributed down to your feet are so well aligned that you glide across the dance floor. After a number of scars, after a scar, after a joint replacement, after surgeries to joints, after any of the things I've described today, those blocks become chaotically organized. Those blocks go way out of balance that you're looking at this picture. Now, I want you to get this because this is big. If after a period of years, you have become a mass of misaligned blocks, how are you going to optimize your human body by simply addressing a scar, by cross-fibering a scar? In other words, once you are a mass of misaligned blocks, destroying your joints because of the misplaced gravity lines, how are you going to return to normalcy simply by addressing a scar? You have to move all those blocks back into place. Once you've had years of chronic scar-like debilitation, your body's building blocks are all out of sync. And so if you decide, yes, you know, I've got that scar in the knee, and I'm going to cross-fiber it, and I'm going to use clays on it and oils, and I'm going to fix that scar, and I'm going to press into that scar, and I'm going to pay somebody to press into that scar, I'm asking you to consider the fact that by the time you get to do that, your body from head to toe is a bunch of misaligned blocks, and you bet it is. So decompressing a scar, really returning a scar so that you could optimize normal biomechanical function, so you can work the scar out all the way into the organ systems, has to do with realigning the entire body. And that is a very, very, very big concept. The scar you have down in the knee has to be addressed by fixing the position of the head on the neck, by changing the rotation of the shoulders, by shifting the rib cage, by aligning the thoracic with the lumbar spine, by fixing the sacrum. The whole gravity line from head to toe has to be addressed to effectively normalize the localized scar. The entire gravity line from head to foot has to be addressed, realigned to effectively return to normal, optimize biomechanics, that localized scar. That's a big concept. Everybody leaves this out. I don't think anybody really gets this. Because common sense says, okay, I'll buy it. That surgery on my knee, yeah. They never rehabbed it. They never fixed that scar. Slap a little clay on. Slap a little oil, do a little cross friction. If you leave out aligning the body from head to toe, you miss the whole point of the show. But you understand what I mean. And if you don't, get on the website and listen to the show again and again. Those of you new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. This is an educational forum for you to get the deep concepts. This is the stuff you can't get from an internet search. It's the stuff you can't get from listening to everybody on YouTube. And get to the website so you can hear it again. You should hear it again. You can't get the show generally if you listen just once. And that's why I use the pictures. And if you're really lost and have health concerns and you're just over your head, that's 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. 1007. Call, make an appointment. I have a wonderful backup crew here. I have a great office staff and getting better all the time. That's 714-850-1007. Well, there you have it. The dangers of facelifts, surgeries, cesareans, episiotomies, chronic repetitive trauma, the problem with the scar, and some foundations for scar remediation or to fix a scar. But there's something even bigger than that. There's something bigger than that. How do you know, no matter what you do, no matter what you're trying to fix your scar, how do you know if you fixed it? Because somebody tells you? Because the person you paid to do it tells you, okay, you're fine? Because some test tells you? No. Really, if you know me and you know the way I ask you to do it, you're going to know it by the feel of it. And that has to do with a closing concept. And that closing concept is that when you work towards your health and you work to center and your body knows alignment and your body knows circulation, flow of electrical energy throughout the entire body, if your body knows chi, if it knows prana, if it knows the universal life force, if it knows what it is to feel circulation to each and every body part, when you get a scar, you'll know something's wrong. And until something's right, you'll know something's wrong. You see, so there's a payoff for health. When you put time into a health practice and calamity strikes, you have a reference point. You have a place to return to that you had well memorized because you built your foundation of health with a health practice. For the new year, I'm going to probably do my health checklist. This is show 291 over 5 years. And it's about a health practice. You have 291 hours of concepts for you to bring and develop the foundation of your health practice. And that's the way you want to think about health for 2017, as a practice that you keep adding fundamental concepts to, so that if calamity does strike, you're standing on solid ground. And knowing in your body, in your experience, that you fixed a scar is the best testimony to it. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.